I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. May is National Hepatitis Awareness Month. Joining me now is Elizabeth Rains. She has just published a new book, Demon in My Blood, My Fight with Hep C and a Miracle Cure. In it, she recounts her own battle with hepatitis C, the stigma surrounding the disease, and the research and drug development in recent years. It's a disease that affects 250,000 Canadians and some 3 million Americans. There's a terrible stigma surrounding this disease that Ms. Rains dispels. It's also undiagnosed. The number is staggering. I'll get Elizabeth to tell us about her experiences with hepatitis C, this book, and the future. The costs of drugs to manage and perhaps cure this disease are high, but they are out there. Elizabeth Rains is a teacher at University of Writing and Editing courses. She has written for newspapers and magazines in Canada, including the Vancouver Sun, in the United States and Ireland as well. She was the editorial director and publisher of Pacific Rim magazine for 14 years. She holds a master's degree in journalism from Carleton. This new book, her second, has just been published by Greystone. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Elizabeth Rains. Ms. Rains, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. This this book will elicit, I guess, a lot of questions, but I guess one of the first things is we hear about hepatitis C, A, and B. What's the difference between the various, between the three of them, say?
Well, they're completely different viruses, Joe. A and B are, A is fairly simple. Lots of young kids get it. You can just recover from it yourself. A lot of people get it and don't know it. Hepatitis B is a serious disease. There's a vaccination for it, but there is no cure for hepatitis B. But today there is a cure for hepatitis C for about well over 90% of people, and it's pretty new, and that's what my book is about. Now all of the types of hepatitis, A, B, C, there's also D, E, they go through it. Mm-hmm. What hepatitis is, it's a disease that affects your liver. That's what it means, and it interferes with the liver's activities, and there are many of them, and it can be very serious. And with hepatitis C, it can lead to advanced liver disease, and there's no recovery from that.
And so I'm 35. I gather I was vaccinated for hepatitis B in elementary school. Is that right?
No, not so many people get vaccinated for Hep B in elementary school. But if you're going to a tropical country, perhaps your doctor will recommend that vaccination.
I see.
But again, it's a completely different virus. Hepatitis means your liver is affected. You may turn yellow, but it's a completely different virus.
And one of the reasons why you wrote this book is to get us through all of this misinformation that we might have about this condition.
Yeah, or lack of information. And it's also, the book also explained my route to cure and also my fairly mysterious route to infection, because it happened quite a long time ago and I wasn't quite sure how it happened. And there's many, many ways you can acquire this disease.
Yeah. So let's talk about you, because that's who you know best, I guess. When was it in the course of writing this book? Did you go back and try to figure out what happened to you?
That's exactly what I did, Joe. I went back. Well, of course, I was scared to death when I was diagnosed. You can die from this. You can get liver cancer. You may need a liver transplant. And I was just frightened out of my wits. And I said to myself, I don't know how this happened. How did I get it? It's bloodborne, but there's many transmission routes. I went back. I had a blood transfusion after the birth of my daughter. I won't give you the details about this, but it was a terrifying encounter with, I was terrorized by bikers, and that led to something that may have caused this disease. You can get it through, and I was a hippie, and it was the free love days, and there is sexual transmission. Mm-hmm. I interviewed people. I interviewed one woman who got it when she was born from her mother. Yeah. So there's many ways.
Yeah, and one of the things that you do in this book, from my understanding, is that you point out that anybody can get this.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't discriminate, you know, class, gender, or anything like that, right?
Oh, yeah. One of the interviews I did in the book was with Brian Logue Oldham, who was the manager of the Rolling Stones. When you talk about the sex, drugs, and rock and roll era there, he was right in the thick of it. But he was like, he was rolling around with the Rolling Stones, right?
Yeah.
You know, all the wealth and the cocaine of that generation. But there's all sides. And, you know, there's intravenous drug users that typically get it today because it's been eliminated from the blood supply. But there were people there that had, back then, who had hemophilia and may have contracted it. There were, as I say, there were many, many routes, and a lot of people forget what they did 30 years ago, and I had to go examine my past.
Yeah. And so when you are told that you have this, you have hepatitis C, I mean, what's the first thing that went through your mind?
Oh, I was scared to death, Joe. I thought I would die.
Mm-hmm.
I went, what on earth is this? How did I get it? What is it? I'm a journalist. I heard of this, right? But you don't get the fine details when you hear a newscast about, some event, trying to get people to pay attention to the disease. So no, I knew very little. I was very scared.
And so in terms of the resources that you encountered in the healthcare system as to treatment initially, I mean, did you find that people in the medical community here were able to diagnose you quickly? Because, I mean, that's the other thing that from what I understand in the book, is that a lot of cases in terms of hepatitis go undiagnosed.
Well, mine went undiagnosed for decades. And
really?
It just happened, I moved up to the Sunshine Coast, and I didn't want to travel far to a doctor, so I changed doctors. And I was lucky enough to get a doctor who routinely tests for hepatitis C. But that's not that common. A lot of people are not tested.
Yeah, and so when you do find out that you have it, how does your life change in terms of I mean, you talked about having to investigate your past, but in terms of the day-to-day and to make sure that you lived, I mean, were there medicines? Is there a lot of treatment involved, say?
Okay, for me, look, Joe, I was unbelievably lucky. I got the treatment in the past had been like a year of interferon, which is a grueling treatment. People couldn't get through the treatment, and, only half of them would be cured.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like it was injections and injections all year. And it created like what people described as the worst case of the flu you could ever imagine for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. I was afraid of that. I'm kind of I'm a squeamish person, but I was very, very lucky. Within like a few days before my treatment was to begin, Health Canada approved new direct acting antivirals. It was 12 weeks, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, quick, and the disease was gone, although at a huge monetary cost.
Yeah, and so that was that the initial trial, I guess?
It wasn't a trial. They had just
approved it. I see.
There had been people treated in clinical trials before me. There had been actually, a number, because they need to collect a lot of information. But they had just approved it, so a specialist could prescribe it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. I got fast-tracked. I was lucky. It was like $120,000 worth of drugs over those 12 weeks. And I was on one of the best medical plans, which not many people had access to.
Mm-hmm.
And it did pay the cost of my drugs. But a lot of people, when they just came out with these drugs, they had a really, really hard time being able to pay for it.
Yeah.
And these drugs were rationed. They still are, but it's opening up, and the costs have been reducing, and there's new drugs.
And I guess in the book you also take on the pharmaceutical industry in terms of just the costs of these drugs, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy at that point because they were the cost was astronomical. And I even was told of an extended medical plan for nurses that because of the costs of these drugs, they changed their drug coverage policy and fewer nurses were covered.
Hmm.
Because it, you know, premiums go up.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. There's been a lot of negotiations. Countries have been negotiating over these drugs, and the costs have come down. And Canada has negotiated. They're paying now less than half of that for the hepatitis drugs. But still, there's still some rationing.
Yeah.
So it's a problem.
Yeah. In terms of your own health, I mean, are there any lingering physical challenges that you face today, even though you are cured?
Okay. Like I say, I was so lucky, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
My liver is like a starfish. It can regenerate itself. You can get like half of your, you can get a liver transplant, like from a living donor, get mm-hmm. half their liver, and they'll grow back the rest of their liver. It doesn't happen to everybody, right? Who, if you have hepatitis, you may, or your liver may recover a bit. It may not recover, or it may recover. My liver is back to normal. I'm so grateful and thankful. It's amazing.
Yeah, and so for people who aren't as lucky, I mean, so what are the things that they have to live through? What are the symptoms that they have in terms of when they have hepatitis C?
Well, what happens with hepatitis is your liver gets what's called fibrosis. It hardens. Your liver is initially, a normal liver is very soft and mushy,
yeah.
And then it gets hardened as the hepatitis virus lives and it reproduces in the liver, and it forms scar tissue. And because of that scar tissue, your liver begins to lose its functions. And the liver has like hundreds of, so many functions in your body to do with digestion, regulating your bodily systems and your blood. And so that all starts to fail. And, you know, like I said, well, people will, you'll turn yellow, you know, your complexion. You can see jaundice in people that have liver problems. But the way I described interferon, the flu, well, flu-like feelings might occur. You can get brain fog. It can interfere with your brain. You can, you know, progressively you're unable to digest your food. There's really big problems. It goes on and on. It's like I say, you can't live without a functioning liver. So there are people that have passed from disease.
Yeah. The other thing that I read that I found interesting is that BC has the highest level of new cases in the country. Is that correct?
It's, you know, we've had that, you know, we've had injection drug problems, and now since the 90s, when the blood services has been able to screen blood very thoroughly and transfusion blood and get rid of the virus in that blood or screen that out, a larger and larger percentage has been injection drug users, and there is a problem in BC.
Yeah. There's a lot of stigma, and we touched on this earlier, but when people get diagnosed with hepatitis C, I mean, they automatically think it's a death sentence. Why do you think there is a stigma, I guess, and why isn't there sort of the awareness of it? I mean, we're in the month of May, and so this is a good time to talk about it, I guess, in terms of what this disease is and one's future when they have it.
That's right. Yeah, it's Hepatitis Awareness Month, but that's the problem. People have not been aware. They've heard of the disease. They've heard it's very serious. Number one, they're afraid that it's contagious, and through a breath or a cough or touching something. But it's not. It's difficult to get this disease. It's quite difficult, but people do come down with it. But, you know, casual or, you know, contact through friends, no, you're not going to get hepatitis. But some people are afraid of that infection factor because they don't know the facts. Other people associate it with, you know, a very, you know, poor and, you know, injection drug lifestyle.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, there are people that have that in the past, and now they're doctors, lawyers, and whatever, or there's, and there's lots of people that, you know, they acquired their hepatitis through an entirely different route. There's been a number of times where there was a case in Kansas where 100 cancer patients got hepatitis C through unclean medical device.
Yeah. And so things are improving. I mean, I guess what I want to get at now is just how hopeful it has been for you and for a lot of people who are diagnosed with it today. I mean, in terms of a percentage, I mean, it's up to 90% in terms of a cure, right?
Yeah, it's beyond 90%. It's very, very good. Very high chance of a cure. These drugs are called direct-acting antivirals because they act directly, you know, through, you know, DNA research. The researchers have been able to directly target the virus, so the virus can't reproduce. If it can't reproduce, there's no more viruses. They just die and they're gone. So it's very, very, very helpful. The only issue, the big issue, is people getting tested because, you know, doctors don't always test you, or you don't always think of it. You don't remember how you might have possibly contracted hepatitis C.
And we can suggest that to our doctor. I mean, we can ask them what we know, because if you go in for a blood test to ask for it to be screened, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You should ask your doctor, especially baby boomers, the far highest contingent of people who have contracted hepatitis C, right, are baby boomers. So if you're in that generation, absolutely ask your doctor.
You mentioned the research. I mean, you looked at that during the course of writing this book. I mean, it has taught us a lot, hasn't it, in terms of finding a cure for hepatitis C, about other diseases that can be cured, right, through research?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, now with the tools that are available to researchers, this is a virus, and they've targeted that virus specifically, and certainly that could apply to other diseases.
Elizabeth, you've done a great service in writing this book, and I hope it does well for you. Congratulations on its publication and the work that you're doing in terms of getting us aware of this. I appreciate your time today. All the best.
Yeah, and I have a website, hepboomers.net, because I do feel that baby boomers need to pay attention to this. So
yeah.
Anyone who's interested and might have something to say, they could check out hepboomers.net.
Hep and H-E-P boomers.net, right?
Hepboomers.net. And, of course, my book, Demon in My Blood. So thank you. I really appreciate your talking with me.
You're very welcome. The book is called Demon in My Blood, My Fight with Hep C and a Miracle Cure. It's published by Greystone. It's author Elizabeth Raines. Joined me on the line from Gibson's, B.C. in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.